Following on from the government's announcement of the Productivity Commission inquiry into the impact of immigration on the labour market, housing and natural environment. Tahu has connections into Ngāti Tepa, Ngāti Mahanga, Ngāti Kinohaku as well. And it's great to have her join us for a kōrero. She says that Māori, and I've believed this myself for ages, we just don't have enough input to our immigration policies in this country. And as of right, we should. Tahu, tēnā koe. Thanks for joining us on Pākehiwaha.
A te mārie e, Dale.
Tēnā koe. What's prompted your thinking to move into this direction, saying it's about time we had a little more say in how we draft immigration policy and indeed how we roll that one out, Tahu? What's taking your eye?
Oh, look, actually, I've been saying this for some time with my colleague, Dr. Aramarata, because we were involved in a six-year research program funded by MBIE, which has just come to an end, actually. And it actually struck us pretty early on in the research that Māori were being basically excluded from sort of political conversations around immigration, but also the sort of the academic research around immigration as well was coming from a very sort of Eurocentric place. And once we started looking more deeply into this from a research perspective, it became really obvious to us that, you know, what was fundamentally needed was a shift to an immigration approach which is much more sort of fit for purpose for Aotearoa New Zealand, much more sort of located in the demographic realities of our 21st century, and that was sort of underpinned by a different set of values which weren't necessarily monocultural European ones.
And your work has exposed you to the thinking about how we might plan better for the future. Can we touch on capturing the diversity dividend of our country, that program? It's a six-year program, yeah, as you just touched on as well. But as you rightfully point out, issues of immigration surface within the study itself. And, I mean, if we don't plan for the future, we have the risk of being swamped as a people. And I wonder, you know, what we can do to mitigate that threat. Firstly, tell us about the research, please, and some of the things you enjoyed about it, but also some of the findings that you think our listeners might benefit from understanding, Tahu.
Yeah, well, you know, it was such a fascinating program to be involved with, and working alongside some really incredible, you know, researchers. But the reason why I sort of got involved with it in the first place, because, you know, there's so many things for us to do and you have to sort of exercise judgment about what you get involved in out of all the long list of things that you could, you know, spend your time on, was that, you know, Māori have often sort of been absent from these, you know, research on diversity and sort of multiculturalism and immigration, and it just didn't seem right to me that we should be on the sidelines of this. So I thought, actually, we need to, you know, be involved and provide a really strong Māori lens on this, because that's missing and it's what's needed. But, you know, if you look back, you know, one, two decades, certainly there have always been Māori voices, not necessarily from within academia, but from in our communities, in iwi, amongst some of our Māori politicians, who have said for a very long time, you know, actually we need to be involved in this decision-making around immigration. It can't just come from one very sort of economically driven and Pākehā-centric view on immigration, who should be here, and what the future of our country should look like. So people have been saying that for a very long time. You know, I can remember Ranginui Walker writing about this in the 1980s. You know, Tariana Turia, Margaret Mutu, Peter Sharples are just some of the few, you know, Māori leaders who have talked about these thorny issues. And so I guess what we were doing is we were just sort of bringing a research perspective to it, and looking at various surveys, undertaking our own research with Māori communities to try and get a better sense of, if we are going to do it differently, what's the sort of thinking that we need to bring to bear on this. And my former colleague who used to be here at NIDIA, Dr. Aramarata, was just a phenomenal person in this space. She did so much amazing work with communities and community building, and just brought a really fresh, I think, set of eyes and set of thinking to this. And one of the papers that we wrote, which got quite a lot of dissemination, would have been about 3 years ago, was arguing for a more tika approach to immigration, one that really located immigration policy in Aotearoa, one that really recognised Te Tiriti o Waitangi as a cornerstone constitutional document of this country, one that valued manaakitanga and gave substance to that through the implementation, through the development and implementation of that immigration approach, and one that also, frankly, brought a strong demographic lens because, you know, the sort of like ad hoc approach to immigration hasn't really been dealing in a substantive way with the sort of demographic change that we're undergoing with an ageing population, sub-replacement fertility, but very different demographic dynamics for our Māori and Pacific populations. And it's almost like immigration sort of policy has been crafted with in the absence of an understanding of all these dynamics and how they come together. So there's certainly a lot of room for improvement and post-COVID reset on thinking here. And so it is good to see this Productivity Commission piece of work that's now been undertaken, and to see finally that there's some acknowledgement of the importance of Te Tiriti o Waitangi and Māori as partners in this space. But that needs to translate into significant difference, and that at this point remains to be seen.
Well, we've been at the whim of changing governments, haven't we? And when we consider that our political representation over decades has been marginalised, and so immigration policy, for the most part, foisted upon us without us having any input. And if you lay the treaty obligation lens across the immigration policy, we'll see that we've had stark input into the way that we've developed that. Can I touch on issues of productivity here? I mean, a Pākehā thinking is that growth is always good, that we've got to grow our population, we've got to grow our economy. And if we say, hang on a second, we're a small country, we get on okay, we want to create jobs for ourselves, we need houses ourselves, we need better education ourselves. So this constant desire to grow, improve, and to make bigger and better, is that a Pākehā concept? What would you say the Māori attitude to this we must grow at all costs is?
I wouldn't say it's kind of a Pākehā construct, but it's definitely rooted in Western capitalism. And, I think even if you look at some of the Māori businesses, yes, they want to create profit and opportunity for the communities they're responsible for, but they actually have a very different way of thinking about it, a long-term sustainable values-based approach. Waka Tūhun Corporation in Te Tauihu is just a fine example of how it doesn't have to be sort of a perverse either-or trade-off, that you can produce goods, you can undertake business and create profit and success for your communities, but not in a way that fundamentally sort of subverts the very values that you hold dear and your commitment to kaitiakitanga and the whenua. So, one of the huge advantages I think we have here in Aotearoa is we have an Indigenous population that has implemented through our institutions, through our marae, through our kinship structures, through our obligations to each other, a very different set of values. And we can bring that to bear through the ways in which policies are crafted and implemented, but often it's missing. But when they are incorporated, we do see that actually it works better, not just for us, but it actually works better for others as well. And one of the common things that came through the research that we did over the 6 years is that actually migrant communities, and especially migrant communities of colour, they want a different approach. The immigration settings aren't working for them. And a classic example is when you're looking at, their whānau and how they, migrant workers often are seen as sort of filling a skill shortage gap or providing Aotearoa with a critical labour force or workforce, but they can't be seen in the context of their relationships to their whānau. So their whānau are left behind often, and they're seen here to, recruited into Aotearoa or provided with short-term visas, which enable them to work here and earn money, but often it's solving a problem for employers and for the Aotearoa economy, but not really taking account of the broader relationships, obligations, responsibilities that those migrant workers have to their whānau and their communities. And so, you know, putting a very different sort of lens on this, I think, would create different migration and immigration settings, and one that's not just about centering Māori in the decision-making process, but it's actually about delivering good decisions that actually benefit our manuwhiri who are coming here to Aotearoa and want to call it home as well.
Well, you know, if you're anti-immigration, you're called a Winston, aren't you? And what we're saying is that, you know, if you're anti-immigration, you're seen as racist. But surely there is a responsibility for us to be cautious, because at the same time as we're giving other people a leg up or an opportunity to come and join us in our land of milk and honey, it also sees us, you know, plummeting in home ownership. Unemployment figures still slack, you know, underachievement in schools. I mean, there are many social indicators that say that we could be more insular and it might be more beneficial for us in the short term. But this whole immigration issue, if you stand up and say, hey, listen, I'm a bit anti on who's coming in because we're just, you know, opening up the land for swathes of people from other places to come in, and it can compromise where we're at as a people. What would you say of that? Because at the fear of being called Winston.
Oh, look, I've had a number of debates with Winston. It's always very lively.
Very lively, but, of course.
Oh, look, I would say that's fundamentally wrong-headed and not evidence-based. So there's a couple of things wrong with that corridor. One is that immigration is often seen as a bogeyman, and, you know, that's just incorrect to assert that, you know, immigration is somehow responsible for the housing crisis that we find ourselves in now, which has a range of underlying causes, and, you know, immigration is not the bogeyman here. So, you know, that's a complex issue, and blaming immigrants and migrants, making them sort of scapegoat for the variety of ills that, you know, permeate and disproportionately affect our whānau in Aotearoa, that, you know, I would strongly reject that. The second, and there's very little evidence for that sort of lens and for that approach. The second, I think, point that you raised there was that, you know, well, there's some sort of basis for being anti-immigration. Now, this is a really interesting point, because there does seem to be sort of a bit of a mythology, urban myth, if you like, that Māori are more opposed to immigration than other New Zealanders. And we found very little evidence for that, despite the sensational headlines. And in fact, when we looked at some data from the New Zealand General Social Survey, which is a nationally representative survey, which is very useful because then you can have some confidence that what you're finding is not just about a small group of people, but it actually taps a more general phenomenon that we can sort of talk about at the population level, which is very important. And when we looked at questions around, you know, how important is ethnic diversity and multiculturalism for defining Aotearoa New Zealand, we found, unsurprisingly, a very high proportion of Asian and Pacific people saw it as ethnic diversity and multiculturalism as being very important for New Zealand, but actually quite a high number, a proportion of Māori did as well, and actually the outlier were the European New Zealanders, so they were the group less likely to accord a high degree of importance to multiculturalism. And then we looked, kind of flipped that over and looked at, you know, Māori culture and identity, the importance of that for defining New Zealand. Of course, unsurprisingly, we saw, you know, 90%+ of Māori saying, yes, this is very important for defining the country. And then we saw actually pretty high proportion of Pacific peoples and Asian peoples. And again, the lowest support for Māori identity and culture as being important for defining New Zealand actually came from European New Zealanders. So I think we need to be careful about kind of accepting carte blanche some of these sort of myths around the way in which different groups see each other. And, you know, there's been such a fixation and focus on sort of minorities and often, you know, as problems, that there has been very little attention given to the sort of the attitudes, the behaviours and the values of the dominant group. And how have they shaped ethnic relationships here in Aotearoa? How have they shaped our approach to immigration? You know, what does this mean for what the future of our country might look like? And maybe it's time that we sort of stop just looking at minority groups and actually try to understand better what the values are of the dominant group who hold most of the positions of power and how that's shaping our policy settings and sort of institutional responses to some of the major challenges that we face. And maybe it's not fit for purpose, and maybe we need a different way of thinking about it.
You always talk such good sense, Tahu Kukatai.
Well, I don't know about that. I'd argue with that, Dale.
It's interesting too, you know, and I think what you've raised in that last corridor is very important too, rather than looking at migrant communities and attitudes. I mean, we're not a migrant community, are we? We're a treaty partner, but perhaps we should look more closely at, you know, the power base of all this work. Congratulations on the May. It's a six-year study. And most people who listen today say, six-year study? Gee whiz, that's a long time. Capturing the diversity dividend of Aotearoa New Zealand. And Tahu Kukatai with us today. She says there's very little understanding of how our changing demography is going to affect our futures. And research into diversity and migration has tended to treat Māori as a minority rather than as partners to the treaty. It's always enlightening, Tahu. Thanks again for sharing some thoughts with us on Pākehi Waha.
Lovely to talk with you, Ehora.